Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazeri. Take it away, guys.
Right, the door is locked. There's no way out.
And now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Cindy Feasel. Cindy was married to former Colts and Seahawks center Grant Feasel for many years. Grant played in the league from 1983 to 1992, unfortunately passed away back in July of 2012. The official cause of death was cirrhosis of the liver, but an autopsy found he also had stage 3 CTE. Cindy has written a book titled After the Cheering Stops, an NFL Wife's Story of Concussions, Loss, and the Faith That Saw Her Through. And we are honored that she is with us here tonight on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Cindy, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for coming on, Cindy.
Hi, Bob and Chris. It's nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure.
So, Cindy, I want to start, I guess, by, you know, going back to the beginning, you know, with you and Grant. Talk about, you know, how you guys first got together.
Well, we met in college on a blind date, which was awesome. I had heard of him but had never met him. So one of my roommates knew him and thought that it would be great for us to meet. And I knew he was a sports star, but I didn't realize that he was smart. He was an academic All-American all 4 years of college. He loved poetry. He loved music. I say he was a Renaissance man. I mean, he was every girl's dream. So I felt like I'd really hit the jackpot when I met him and we had an instant connection.
And you know, Cindy, kind of looking back over his career, he's drafted in the sixth round in 1983 by the then Baltimore Colts. Was that his dream? What was it like for him to get the opportunity to go play in the NFL for the Colts?
Well, I think it's every little boy's dream when you're playing sports to think that maybe you would possibly become a professional. But we know now that 1% becomes a professional player, so
right.
It was a dream. I think it's every kid's dream. And we were married. He was planning on going to dental school and had been accepted to every dental school in the state of Texas. And so he had a lot of options. And it was a surprise when he got drafted. We were thrilled, of course, because we decided, why not? You know, it was the time of our life. We were in our 20s. Why not go ahead and go down that road and see where it led? So we looked at it as being an adventure, and it was for years, and we were really excited about the people that we met and the places that we traveled, and so it was an exciting time for us.
And like I say, he played in the league for a long time, 83 to 92, and, you know, not that long ago, you know, guys, you know, on both sides of the ball, the offensive line, defensive line, right, they would, you know, use their heads. I remember Mike Webster used to headbutt the guy. That was like one of his first moves was to headbutt the guy right in front of them, right? So, you know, they use their heads as weapons, you know, leading with their heads when they're making tackles and blocks and that sort of thing. Guys getting concussions, sometimes multiple concussions in the same game, being sent to the sidelines for a play or two, getting the smelling salts, and boom, right back into the game they go. Did Grant ever talk about or show signs of symptoms, being concussed after a game?
Yes, that's a great question. As a matter of fact, it happened even when we were in college. After we met, he would say, you know, I got my bell rung during the game. And, of course, I was just, you know, cheering on the sidelines going, yay, go Grant. And as long as he didn't hobble off, I thought everything was all good. Same as in the pros. I mean, you know, I thought that when he came home, if he didn't have a cast on, an arm or leg, that he was all good. We never talked about concussions other than saying it was just a bell rung. I remember one specific incident when he had been to the Mile High Stadium in Denver. He came home and said, you know, I just don't feel normal. I had a concussion in the game. And not even really knowing what a concussion was, I just remember, again, thinking, oh, well, that's okay. It's no big deal. You're walking. But he had some significant issues after that. He described it real vividly to me. He said that everything went black and he had to be helped to the sidelines. He talked about specifically just seeing a tunnel vision and that he didn't remember any of the games. Now, the longer he lived and the more he talked about it and the more people were talking about concussions, he said he had hundreds of concussions. And there were many games that he remembered very little about. So this, you know, Mike Webster was his hero. He thought that Mike Webster, of course, was the greatest center ever, and he patterned himself after that. Grant also did all the long snaps, deep snaps. He played 117 games over 10 years. He was a five-year you know, redshirted freshman in college, and he played from the age of 8 to 32. So let's think about all of the head smashing he did. And now we know that every hit counts. So I say that he didn't have a chance to have a normal life.
Bob, questions for Cindy?
It's an honor to speak with you, Cindy, and it's such a fascinating and sad story at the same time. And I'm just wondering more and more about some other symptoms he may have had, say, 4 or 5 years into the league that probably affected his home life that we don't read about. What are some of the other things, negative things, that you saw at home?
Well, Bob, thank you so much for bringing that up, because a lot of times people don't think about the fact that this was an ongoing thing that happened throughout our marriage. And I talk about it in the book, After the Cheering Stops, that I wrote. I was just hoping there was somebody else out there that had experienced anything else like I had, because nobody talked about these things. And it was just secretive. You know, because it wasn't a discussion, nobody knew. And I remember towards the end of his career, of course, again, I have to go back and say that we don't think about bodies being human in sports, and you can't take the hits that they take every game and expect to live a normal life after it's over. So Grant, the longer he played, the more issues he had just with aches and pains. So towards the end of his career, he started coming in with alcohol, and he wasn't a drinker. And so it was odd to me that he would come in with sacks of alcohol and he would drink it all, and then he would roll it up in this bag and throw it out in the trash. Unusual behavior. He started bringing in little pills and bags, saying the trainers or, you know, the team doctors, whoever gave the pills out. And obviously it was a easy free-for-all with pills, because I say that Grant became addicted to Percocet and Vicodin while he was in the NFL, because he was constantly bringing those home. We didn't have the internet back then, you know, to Google the pills and for me to know exactly what they were. But he would just say, you know, it's just something to help me sleep. He had problems sleeping. He had problems sitting for long periods of time. His hands hurt. His feet hurt. His neck hurt. His back locked up, as he would say. So there were constant aches and pains that were happening. But even more so, after he retired, it was interesting to me that I started finding alcohol hidden, which was just not like him. I mean, he wouldn't hide things from me. He hadn't. And so it was so odd to me that he started hiding alcohol. He really, I say, by the time he was 32 and he retired, he was drinking heavily every night before he went to bed because he just couldn't sleep. And, you know, when you retire from the NFL, you don't get the Percocet and Vicodin lifetime prescriptions that they hand out readily to you. So it was a huge issue with us after he retired. Things started just slowly crumbling. I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know exactly what it was. But I think that he was a functioning alcoholic by the time he was 35 years old. So that's a long time. And, you know, you don't die of cirrhosis of the liver just because you drank one day. So it was a lot of drinking that went on. It was just sad to me because we started having this huge disconnect in our marriage. He was very organized when we first met. He even kept his pencils and pens organized. His closet was impeccable when we first married. By the time, you know, as years went on, he couldn't find a tie and a pair of socks to match. It was just the most unusual behavior. I couldn't imagine what it possibly was. And it was never thought of that it was a brain injury. I just thought it was the alcoholism that was causing all these problems, and it was causing a lot of problems. But, you know, I think now that he was drinking a lot because of the pain, he would say to me, "You don't have any idea what I'm dealing with." Well, I didn't. And so, you know, all of those things became a huge issue for us because he couldn't stay organized with our finances. You know, a lot of lying and deceit was happening, you know, just because he couldn't keep up with things. He was a salesman after he retired in medical school. He decided to do that because he played for so many years. He decided not to go to medical school or dental school. But he couldn't keep up with his just the daily routines of being a salesman. He couldn't keep up with receipts to do expense reports. It was very odd to me. I couldn't imagine what was happening to this person that was so intelligent and so smart.
And Cindy, have you befriended the spouses of other ex-players, maybe former or current, where they're experienced still a lot of negative things? I would think there's a great market for this kind of support group.
Well, there are a lot of other women who are going through the same things, but I will have to say that mine is a little bit different because Grant's dead. So
yeah.
A lot of these people are living it. I mean, people don't understand that CTE is a sport-related neurological degenerative disease. I mean, this is so huge. And now we know that ALS, Parkinson's disease, dementia, we know that all of those things are an issue as well because it is a serious problem. And so many of these women are taking care of their sick husbands. It's, you know, there are support groups, but it's a negative environment just because, you know, the NFL is not really owning up to what they need to be saying. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we have to look at this as the employees of the NFL are dying. So it's a negative environment when you're on my end of it. It's not, you know, as I say, it's all fun and games until your loved one's dead.
So, Cindy, when did you first learn about CTE and that maybe either they wanted to or maybe someone needed to take a look at Grant's brain?
That's another excellent question. Thank you so much because I love these things. It helps people understand. If Grant was at the end of his life, he was saying, you know, I think maybe I have what Mike had. Maybe I have what Junior has. So, you know, Grant was kind of putting the pieces together, even though he was so far gone mentally, physically, and everything. He was still putting the pieces together that maybe he had the same thing. So he had mentioned, you know, he wanted to have his brain looked at. I know he had that conversation with his brother and my oldest son. Grant and I got a divorce 7 months before he died. I mean, it's a huge, huge heartbreak. This disease is terrible. It invades your entire family. I say it's like the roots of an old tree. It wraps around every single person in your family, and it just kills everybody. It's tough. It's a hard, hard disease to live with. And I talk about it a lot in my book, but I just had it to the end. I mean, I didn't understand what was happening to Grant. I just thought he was just not getting sober. It was horrible. I mean, when you look at stories, you know that even addiction, things don't usually end up well in a relationship. And Grant had brain damage on top of the addiction, so it was just such a masked illness. And he started having problems even with just shaking of hands. And when you look at the symptoms of CTE on the Mayo Clinic's website or any website, you just see a progression. And I realized that our life had just kind of gone along with every symptom of CTE, which was just amazing to me because I didn't even know what it was until after his death. And the brain was at the Boston University, and Dr. Ann McKee, the renowned pathologist, did his autopsy and said that he had stage 3. There's 4 stages, and Grant had stage 3. She said that his brain stem was one of the most damaged brain stems that she's seen. It explained a lot of my questions. It gave me great heartache and still does because we didn't know. We had no idea what we were living with.
And Grant. Did we lose you, Cindy?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. It's such a disconnect because you don't have any idea what you're dealing with, that when you finally realize that it is CTE and what it was, it makes me sad for Grant. But there's no way you can really know this until you die. You can know what the symptoms are, but it can't be treated. I say that CTE is a death sentence, and I just beg people to look at the evidence and realize what the news is. So many people sign their children up to play football at age 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You know, why would you do that now when we know what the evidence is?
Mm-hmm. So, Cindy, before we let you go, let people know about, you know, what they can, you know, when they get a copy of your book, what are they going to, you know, be able to read stories about? How can they get a copy of it? And, you know, are you going to be, you know, out where people can find you? How can they get in touch with you for people that hear the story, read the book, and feel like they could use a little bit of help, you know, themselves with what they're going through?
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate that. It's After the Cheering Stops, and you can get it on Amazon. And as I say, it can be delivered to your door. But Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, all of them online have it. It's already available. And in the book, I just talk about stories in Grant and our life and the things that happen, the disconnects that were happening. So hopefully when people read this, they say, hey, this is happening. It makes more sense now because this is happening to my husband. So I will tell you that at least once a day, I have someone reach out to me on my Facebook page. It's Cindy Fiesel at Cindy Fiesel. And it's the book is After the Cheering Stops. But I have people reach out to me and say, I read your book, and it was exactly what's happening in my life. And thank you so much for just being honest and telling the story. So I am very honest, very blunt. I'm very out there. I just say it like it is. I felt like that was the only way I could do it, to be able to relate to other women. So and men too. So anyway, I just I'm on Twitter. I just say please reach out to me. I like to have one-on-one conversations with anybody anytime I can. There's a place where you can leave messages, and I like to get back with people within 24 hours if I can, because I think this is such a serious thing. So many women are dealing with their sick husbands, and they really. It makes them feel better if they have somebody to reach out to. So I always said if I could just reach one, and I hope that I've reached many, many more, but I just love for people to get in contact with me because it's really important for me to help other people.
That's great.
Well, Cindy, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to join us, and we'd love to have you come back and share more of your stories and more of the things, you know, the insights and the experiences that you had, because it is an important topic. And I think there's a lot of people out there that could benefit from knowing what you saw and what your journey through all of that was. And they may, to your point, recognize some things that might be happening in their lives. And I think it would be great to be able to make more of those connections, but having you share more of your stories. We hope you'll come back and do it again sometime.
I would love that. And I also say I'm a teacher, and I like to say I feel it's a moral obligation for me to talk to parents, too, because I'm really trying to reach many parents that don't understand the dangers of their child playing a head-banging sport. So it's really important for me to talk anytime I can. So I just appreciate the opportunity, and I'd love to come back anytime.
Thank you very much, Cindy. Take care. Thanks
Thank
for your
you
time tonight. We look forward to catching up with you again soon. All the best to you and your
yes.
family, Cindy.
You stay
Absolutely.
Well.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
That is Cindy Fiesel. And again, her husband was Grant Fiesel, who's in his brother, oh, by the way, Greg Fiesel, also played a couple years in the league, Bob, both offensive linemen. So hopefully, you know, the brother Greg is doing all right. He didn't play as many years as Grant did at the NFL level. I'm sure he played at the same amount of time growing up. But tragic story, Bob. You know, we've heard a lot of these. But it's just hard to hear, right, coming from, you know, the wife's perspective. And that's, you know, we've heard a lot of it from the player's perspective. We haven't heard a lot of it from the wife's perspective, the family's perspective. It's really great to have Cindy come on and share what that's like for her and her family.
It's a great point, Chris. All these guys that have suffered through things like this, I think of the Junior Seau family right off the bat. You know, right away when we hear what happened and what was really going on, first thing that comes out of anyone's mouth is poor guy, right? Poor guy, poor guy. It's what the family has had to go through, too. We forget about they're dealing with all the after effects, the behaviors, the medical stuff. It's just not limited to the person affected, and it's really something. And Cindy's so terrific because her main thing is to help people. I mean, she can't change a lot of people's mind. As you know, Chris, many guys we talk to that have shown the effects, they say they'll do the same thing all over again. But she can give support to people, family members of these people that are struggling. And no one struggles more than her, Chris. When you lose a spouse, it's as bad as it gets. So what she's doing now is giving back in a way which is just tremendous. And we're honored to speak with her.
All right, folks, when Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on the Thursday night tailgate spotlight on the positive. So hear which players are doing great things in their communities. And then we're going to wrap up the show. We'll do that on the other side of these words from our friends at the Salt Creek Golf Retreat and the Louisville Slugger Museum and Factory.
If you're looking for a great place for your annual golf outing, a weekend golf getaway, or just a round of golf with your buddies,
then Salt Creek Golf Retreat is just what you're looking for. Centrally located in Nashville, Indiana, just south of Indianapolis and west of Cincinnati, this challenging but fair 18-hole golf course appeals to all skill levels, and its scenic views of rolling hills and tree-lined fairways are sure to make golfing memories for years to come. Owned and operated by former Purdue and New York Giants fullback Randy Minear, Salt Creek Golf Retreat offers stay-and-play packages that include golf and a fully furnished one- or two-bedroom condo. After your round, be sure to stop by the 19th-hole sports bar and restaurant for great food, fun, and drinks. Randy and his staff will treat you like family. For more information, log on to saltcreekgolf.com. That's saltcreekgolf.com. Or give them a call at 812-558-5944. Salt Creek Golf Retreat. Start making your golfing memories today. See the official bat of Major League Baseball, made right before your eyes, at the Louisville Slugger Museum and Factory, located in downtown Louisville. Every guest gets a free Louisville Slugger souvenir mini bat at the end of the tour. See the world's biggest baseball bat and hold game-used bats from Mickey Mantle, Cal Ripken Jr., and more. Lots of interactive exhibits. And check out the museum store where you can buy a personalized Louisville Slugger with your signature on it. Visit SluggerMuseum.com for more information.
Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.